Today on Jay Sekulo Live, what's in the new coronavirus stimulus bill? We'll explain it for you today on the broadcast.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, let me tell you, we've done a little bit of a different setup for those of you that are watching us on TV or Facebook. And what we've done now is put together basically a Skype studio in my home office. So you're watching, if you're watching on TV, Facebook, I don't know if we're going out on, we probably are on Twitter or Periscope. Welcome to my office. We did this a couple weeks back when we were just talking to you at night as we were getting everything set up. But now we have it set up, so we're going to be able to deal with this. Let me go first and say what's happened here. $484 billion interim emergency bill. Let me give you that number again. $484 billion interim emergency bill passed the U.S. Senate on Tuesday. It includes expanding the funding for those small business loans, which was an issue. It also has money in there for hospitals, which is also important, and coronavirus testing. Now, the House is expected to pass the bill this week, but I'm going to go right up to Washington to Than Bennett. And what is the status of the House as it relates to this, Than?
Yeah, the House is going to come back into session tomorrow at 10 a.m., Jay. We don't have a timing on the vote yet. They are going to actually take a vote, so they need a quorum of their members present. It is expected to pass. One of the good things, Jay, we talked about how many hundreds of pages the previous bills were. This one is 25 pages. We were able to go through it quickly last night. It is a pretty straight plus-up of the programs that you mentioned, funding for hospitals, funding for testing, then funding for small business loans, another $310 billion for that Paycheck Protection Program, Jay. Again, the House is supposed to take it up tomorrow, and I will just say, as we've said so many times before, we're going to watch. We're going to make sure that they don't introduce extraneous matters. I don't expect them to, but Jay, I've been surprised before. We're going to stay on it.
Jordan, we have already begun looking at the legislation to make sure there is, as Than just mentioned, nothing in there that would cause problems.
That's right. I mean, what the Senate did was absolutely perfect. I think 25 pages. It just shows you don't have to write 800 pages when you are basically re-upping a package you have already voted on before. So if you, as you talked about, the total package, $483.4 billion, that's $310 billion additional new dollars for the payment protection program. So the employees, $30 billion of that is set aside for the distribution by financial institutions with less than $10 billion in assets, so the smaller banks, $30 billion set aside for distributions by financial institutions with $10 to $50 billion in assets, so slightly larger banks. And then you've also got money in there for the SBA, the Small Business Administration, and all the costs related to this. Now, there's $60 billion in economic injury disaster loans and grants. That's part of an SBA program that's been increased. $75 billion additional for hospitals and healthcare facilities. That's an increase from $100 billion to $175 billion, and $25 billion for testing, so for more COVID-19 testing. Also, for the payment protection plan, so what is this in total now? It means in total, including this, if it passes, it'll be about $659 billion available for employers to keep their employees on payroll.
Which is important because right now, and this is, I think it's really important to understand this, there have been a couple of open up orders in Georgia and also in, right now it's Georgia is the biggest one. I guess Tennessee is doing one as well. But the restrictions that are put in place are not going to let these businesses get back to anywhere near their full status. So that's why these interim measures are necessary. We're going to talk about what that means, what it means for you. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Also, don't forget the ACLJ, if you're able, is in a matching challenge campaign. Your support of the ACLJ makes a big difference. We're encouraging everyone that wants to give, feels led to give, do it online. It's just we can't process mail like we could before this virus, obviously. So we encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org/donate. You can do it right there. Go to the website right on the screen. We'll be back with more, including your questions. A lot of questions already loading up. Be back with more, Jason.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We are taking your calls at 800-684-3110. If you're watching on TV, Facebook, our website, you'll notice that I'm not in our radio studio. I am instead in our my office at home. This is where I'm actually preparing the Supreme Court cases right now. And we were able to, Logan and our teams, were able to figure out a way via Skype to be able to come to you on our TV broadcasts, on Facebook, on our other social media platforms. So we're pleased with that. We think that's at least I can have a more of a sense of being in the program this way. And Jordan will be returning to the studio as soon as we get a clearance level here where our media center is located. Than is already in our studio. Jordan, it's important here. Let's quickly go over what's in the bill and then let's grab some phone calls. People have a lot of questions.
Sure. Just one more time for people. This is the increase. So it's called the 3.5. This piece of legislation and the stimulus, $483.4 billion. Most of that going to the Paycheck Protection Program. Remember, those funds ran out. This is an increase from $349 billion that was already in there, that was already has been utilized, to now an additional $310 billion that will be available at maybe as soon as later in this week or certainly by early next week, if this gets through the House without any issues. And that would bring the total for the PPP loans to $659 billion. $30 billion is set aside for financial institutions that have less than $10 billion in assets, so the smaller banks, and then the medium-sized banks get $30 billion set aside for them as well for $10 to $50 billion in assets. There's money for SBA, for the Small Business Administration costs related to getting all this out, and of course, $60 billion in economic injury disaster loans and grants. That's something the SBA administers. $75 billion for hospitals and healthcare facilities. So that's an additional to the $100 billion they already received in the 3.0 version of this. $25 billion for more COVID-19 testing, and a little bit more, again, going towards SBA salary and expenses so they can get these grants and loans out to people.
So, Than, is there going to be any opposition in the House of Representatives? I know we're looking at the bills. We're going to make sure that it's got the right kind of information. And what do you expect in Washington in the next 24 hours?
Yeah, I think it's going to pass in the House, Jay, aided particularly by the fact, as Jordan mentioned, that it is a very straightforward bill, 25 pages that I was able to read through very quickly, straight plus-ups to the programs. that Jordan was talking about. So I think you're going to see wide bipartisan support in the House. Now, just for our listeners, Jay, anybody that's watching those proceedings tomorrow, it's probably not going to involve all the members of the House. They have to get a simple majority to reach a quorum. Congressman Thomas Massie is going to insist on that, very likely. They're going to have the 218 members there to pass it. I don't expect much opposition. It will be interesting, though, Jay. This morning at 2 a.m., Speaker Pelosi dropped a proposal to move to some proxy voting. I think this is a proposal that, had there been bipartisan discussion, I think probably would have been pretty easy to pass. But she kind of did drop it late in the day. So there might be some drama around that proposal. We will see. But on this package, Jay, I think the House is going to be able to clear it. And the one thing that our department, the ACLJ, continues to look for is we're trying to make sure that there's not a last-minute drop of wish list items from Speaker Pelosi like there was the last time around. Jay, I don't expect it, but we're not going to take that for granted. We're going to keep watching and make sure that doesn't occur.
All right, let's go ahead, Jordan, and take some phone calls. People are calling, and they have a lot of questions about this. 1-800-684-3110.
Wendy's called in from Virginia on line 5 with a good question. Wendy, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jay and Jordan. I have a question about people who are getting SSI and SSA and railroad benefits. I just read recently that the new stimulus package wasn't going to last but maybe 72 hours before that, too, would be depleted. I have yet to hear anything about the people that are on Social Security getting their stimulus package check. We haven't had to file since 2012 because I don't work and my husband is disabled. So we're living off of his disability check. And I, every time I go into the IRS.gov, I'm getting a status that says status unavailable. So what I'm worried about
is... Let me tell you what, there's actually a specific form, and I'll let Dan give you the details on this, but there's a specific... This does not... When you talk about running out of money, what has been running out of funds is not the individual money going to you, this is what we call the stimulus check. It's the PPP money. It's the payroll protection plan. That one is being used very quickly. The first $350 million were gone very quickly. There's now a new plan with new dollars put in toward $310 billion for PPP. That's going to go very quickly as well. But then as it comes to the individual stimulus check, even though she hasn't filed returns nor her husband, they still get it. They just have to fill out that 1.5-page form.
Yeah, and the main difference between the two programs, Jay, is there is no limit on the total top-line number for the stimulus. If you qualify for the stimulus, you're going to get it no matter what the total cost of that program is. When it comes to the Paycheck Protection Program, there is a statutory limit of funds, and they cannot exceed that. I mean, that authorization level is what was increased by the Senate yesterday. It's when they reach that level that the funds quit going out. As far as the caller, though, Jay, if she's been getting her Social Security benefits, she is going to get it via the same way that she collected those benefits, whether it's direct deposit or by mail. You mentioned the form. I don't think the caller is going to need to fill out this form, Jay, but for anyone who does not file, the IRS does not have their information, but they otherwise qualify. At the very top of IRS.gov, there is a button called Non-Filers Interpayment Information Here. That's the form you're talking about. That's the one that they need to fill out if they don't think the IRS has their information.
You know, Jordan, there's another interesting aspect of that, and that is we haven't really touched on it much, but we should. It's worthy of a mention, and that is, what is the political aspect of all of this? Now, you got Democrats and Republicans pretty united on this, but this is going to play out in the presidential elections. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, absolutely. And there's already this talk on the left that this has been a failure by President Trump, both to handle the virus and on the economic side. Now, what's interesting is that when you actually talk to the governors in states, Democrat governors and Republican governors, mayors, same thing, you hear something very different. Were there issues? Yes, and they got them to the federal government, and the federal government began resolving those issues on behalf of the governors, on behalf of the states. So I think, again, it's going to be certainly political, but this stimulus issue and the funding issue, the only reason there was a delay in getting the money, more money into the payroll protection program, which is so essential to being able to flip the switch on, if you will, for our economy, as some states begin to slowly open up again to have their people still on payroll, not in economic dire straits. The only hiccup there was the Democrats in the House of Representatives not moving forward quickly enough, wanting to try and negotiate more extras into this. But instead, what happened? In the Senate, a easy-to-understand 25-page piece of legislation. Not the typical what you get from the Democrats of 600 and 700 pages of a bunch of pork projects stuck in or workarounds the Hyde Amendment so that the abortion industry gets funding through this and bailouts through this. That's not what the Senate did. The Senate clearly laid it out in only 25 pages. I mean, that is a feat in itself legislatively. But the holdup was not Republicans or the president. The holdup were Democrats in the House and Democrats in the Senate. And I hope we don't see that again if we need more stimulus in however form that looks, whether it's another round of those checks going out to individuals who need it or for the business community.
All right, let me tell you what's coming up. I want to talk about this. We're going to answer all your questions, of course. But the president has said that the U.S. is authorized to shoot down and destroy any Iranian boats harassing American ships. I want to say that again. The president tweeted out that he has authorized, as commander-in-chief, under his constitutional responsibilities, his constitutional prerogatives, that the U.S. Navy has authority to shoot down and destroy any and all Iranian gunboats if they harass our ships at sea. This is important because Iran has been flexing its muscles on this, in the middle of all the pandemics that are going on. These governments sometimes use these as opportunities to make significant changes, and I think, or significant policy moves and military moves, geopolitical moves. So the president has, under his authority as commander-in-chief, that's his Article 2 authority under the Constitution, he has said, if you do that, I am authorizing, as commander-in-chief, the United States Navy to shoot down and destroy any and all Iranian gunboats harassing U.S. naval ships at sea. That is a big development. Again, Jordan's going to let you know how you can support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
We have a matching challenge campaign the month of April, and we encourage you, if you're financially able, if you're secure right now, if you've got your payments, if you're still on payroll and you can make a financial contribution to the ACLJ, this is a great month to do it because your donation is doubled. It's a matching challenge. You double the impact of your donation and make that donation online at aclj.org. We filed our 8th pro-life amicus brief just yesterday. We just got a victory out of another victory. We'll report when we come back on the air out of Arkansas on life. Go to aclj.org. Donate today. Be part of the matching challenge.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
org. Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
We're going to get back to the economic stimulus in a minute, but I want to talk for a moment. We're going to do this tomorrow on the broadcast. I'm going to get our military analysts on because this is significant. The U.S. Navy has been harassed by Iranian ships in the past. We know that. Remember the Iranians, it was before the president was inaugurated. They were actually captured, our U.S. naval soldiers, their seamen, and held them. And then eventually they were negotiated and released. This was in the middle of the negotiations for the Iran so-called nuclear peace deal. You now have to look at the situation and say, why would the Iranians be trying to provoke U.S. military action in the Persian Gulf, in the Straits of Hormuz, in those critical areas for oil supply, and also just merchandise supply? It's a merchant route. And an ancient one at that. Why are they doing it now? So the president has authorized, again, specifically authorized the U.S. Navy, and he does this as commander-in-chief, to take action. Now, I'm going to go to Fan first and then Jordan. Fan, I want to set forth the parameters. It's not getting a lot of attention right now. We're going to give it attention tomorrow because we think it's a significant development. Those of our members of Congress that serve on the military committees and foreign affairs know how sensitive this is.
They know how sensitive it is. They also know it, like you said, Jay, it's an Article II power, and the president has appropriately responded. Look, I think the advice that the Iranians should be given is that they better take this president at his word. I mean, I know they're maybe used to previous administrations issuing red lines or other warnings and then not being willing to follow through. I'm pretty confident they better take this president at his word. I think it's an appropriate warning. And I think if you talk to the members of the House Armed Services Committee or the Senate Armed Services Committee, you would get the same indication. Now, Jay, it probably will be somewhat partisan in the Congress, even though it shouldn't be. But look, if the Iranians are going to provoke service members who are deployed overseas at this point in this kind of way, the commander in chief has to get their back. So this is the appropriate warning. And unlike previous commanders in chief, Jay, if it's violated, I expect that order to be followed.
So let me go, Jordan, you look at this also, and this comes into, again, there's a worldwide medical pandemic going on, and the Iranians try to do this. Then you have the instability. We still don't know what the situation in North Korea is, although this is happening simultaneously.
But there had to be a reason why this tweet went out this morning, just a few hours ago. And though the president did not reference a specific incident, it follows a tense encounter last week between Iranian and U.S. Navy ships in the Persian Gulf. So the U.S. military said that 11 Iranian ships repeatedly made, quote, dangerous and harassing approaches of U.S. Navy and Coast Guard vessels in the Persian Gulf in international waters on Wednesday of last week. And the U.S. Navy has actually released a video of some of these Iranian boats and how close they are coming. I mean, sometimes within, I mean, so close, you wouldn't believe how close that these vessels were getting. And we were using non-lethal warnings. And ultimately, they would leave. But what we're mostly concerned about in these situations is that if you don't, first of all, if it gets too close and you don't strike, we've seen before Iranians board a U.S. vessel and take captive U.S. members of our U.S. Navy. But also, what I believe Iran is always trying to do here is cause a provocation and an accident. They would want one of our boat, make it look like one of our boats hit their boats, killed Iranian Revolutionary Guard members, thus amplifying the intensity inside the Persian Gulf and starting some kind of gun battle. Now, here's their problem. They have very small boats. We have very large boats with much bigger guns on them. So for the president to issue this order, the provocation must be serious enough for us to now consider using lethal force.
This also, this action by the president today, as it relates to the situation with Iran, comes on the heels of the situation that we now have on immigration, where he's issuing an order today. We've got a call coming in on that. Let's go take that call.
Yep, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Mary called in from Connecticut on Line 5. Mary, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I am calling on behalf of my nephew, Joshua, and he has been in the U.S. attending college in Georgia for over 4 years. And he met a young lady last year, and they got married in December of 2019. And she sponsored him, and he already did his biometrics immigration test in South Carolina. And he already applied for his change of status.
Is he in the United States now?
Yes, he is. He is in the United States. He's still at college in Georgia. And
existing student visa. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah, he will not be impacted by this, is my understanding. Fan, are you hearing anything differently?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be impacted. It sounds like it will be new green card issues only, and only temporarily. Jay, I mean, I think this question is probably also relevant to the ag workers question we had yesterday. We don't have the language, but I think it's going to be fairly narrow, new green card applications only is what it sounds like.
Mary, your nephew, go ahead, Jordan.
Also, we got a lot of calls about farm workers and those temporary labor guest worker programs. That is not going to be part of this temporary ban either. So guest worker programs will be able to continue so that those farms will have the employees they need.
Well, that's the whole idea. So Mary, in your nephew's situation, he should be fine. People that are already here, what the president is trying to do is put in place a situation where we don't have, and I think this is the idea, over the next 60 days, people coming in that we can't verify. We don't have the test yet certified on antibodies. These are the things to, again, allow for jobs for the American people, because we've got high unemployment right now, which is unbelievable to say that a month after, 6 weeks ago, we had the best employment numbers in our history. But we've been hit with, as the president calls it, the invisible enemy. And that invisible enemy has wreaked havoc on our economy. Now, I think we're going to pull out of it rather quickly as things open up. But the opening up process is phased. It's going to take time. And for that reason, you have to understand that people are going to have to be patient. But the idea here was to give a pause so that we can figure out what the next best move would be in this situation. So, look, I think flexibility is the key for the administration right now because things are changing. We need to be praying for those on the front lines that are working on this. We're going to get more into this. We'll answer more of your questions when we come to the back 30 minutes of the broadcast. If you're joining us late, you're seeing it in it, and if you're watching on TV or Facebook or Twitter or Periscope or any of our other social media platforms, ACLJ.org, I guess, as well, is carrying this. So I'm coming to you from my home office, and my home office is where I am working right now, working primarily on several Supreme Court cases for the president that are going to be argued via telephone on May 12th. We're going to argue them over the phone. First time that's happened in Supreme Court history. And they're going to allow the audio to be released live during the oral argument. So you'll actually get to see it. And maybe we'll be able to annotate it afterwards, depending on what time we're done. But anyways, that's going to be historic. So we're looking forward to getting that done. That is May 12th. Appreciate your prayers as I prepare for that. Also, don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ in a matching challenge campaign if you're able to. ACLJ.org, any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we, of course, get a matching gift. Again, ACLJ.org. Stay tuned. Another 30 minutes of Jay Sekulow Live ahead. Back with more, including your phone calls, in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. We're going to go right to your phone calls because we get a lot of them coming in, and we're talking about the fact that the United States Senate has passed, let me read it to you, a stimulus bill that is going to replenish those PPP loans, Payroll Protection Plan loans. So that's going to be replenished. There's money in there for hospitals, I think $80 billion for hospitals, and then other resources as well. Now, Fan, that has passed the Senate, right? So we're now waiting for House action, but they're going to have to come back for that.
Yeah, it passed the Senate by voice vote yesterday, Jay, shortly before dinner. The House is coming into session tomorrow. Members are on their way back literally as we speak, and I think they will continue coming back to town tomorrow morning, Jay. So the timing of tomorrow's vote is still up in the air. They'll come in for legislative business at 10 a.m. I suspect they'll enter right into debate, but I honestly think the timing of the vote is going to depend on when they get a quorum. A quorum right now is going to constitute about 214 members of the House. As soon as they have that number here, I believe they will take that vote. Jay, I don't expect really any drama. I don't think the vote will be close at all. I think it will be overwhelming, nearly unanimous, not quite. But as soon as they do that, I think it's really important to reiterate something that you and Jordan talked about a moment ago. When that goes to the president's desk and gets signed, money is going to flow from that Paycheck Protection Program very, very quickly. Because again, the apparatus is all in place. This is just a statutory replenishing of the authorized cap for that. So institutions large and small are going to have access to another $310 billion for small businesses to get those loans that will convert to grants if they use it for payroll and other qualified expenses. Jay, I would expect by Friday, those institutions are going to be taking applications again.
Yeah, I think that's right. Jordan, let me ask you this. We talked a little bit about it in the beginning. This hasn't become a political issue yet, but ultimately it's going to. I mean, people are going to, you know, do an analysis of how the response was to the COVID virus. They're going to talk about the financial way it was handled. How do you think this plays politically? I mean, American people, I don't think, want to talk politics right now about it, but I'm sure the politicians are figuring it out.
Sure. I mean, there was already political talk about this temporary immigration ban, and being the president was called an authoritarian by a Democrat member of Congress, Congressman Castro out of Texas. So that kind of language already being used. I think the president is right when he says that however this ends, when we go into the election, there'll be the media and the left will try to paint this as a failure of leadership, but the truth will be in the numbers, and that's really, I think, what the president will be judged on. The truth and the facts will be in the numbers and the statistics of where our country is by the time the election comes around and how we've been dealing with this state to state and how unique each place has had to be dealt with, the difference between a New York, which is right now nowhere near a reopening, and a Georgia, which is moving pretty quickly, though still with a lot of restrictions, with starting to open, or a Tennessee that says 89 out of 95 counties will be able to reopen to some extent, but the biggest cities will not in Tennessee. So even those states that are starting to reopen at the expiration of these stay-at-home orders, the end of April, they have phases, and phase one is still pretty restrictive, but it's just starting to try and get people back to work, back to and ready for those phase two and then phase three, which is kind of a full reopening that we hope to get to before the fall. So again, that's where the president will be judged on. But I think the left will already make its mind up. They already have, regardless of how this turns out. What we'll also be telling is the economy. Will there be time for the economy to continue to bounce back during from now until November 3rd, because we know it, ultimately people vote on their bank accounts and on their 401ks. And this has been a hit, but the government's done a lot of work to try and make sure that people are feeling as little pain as possible. And that's very tough when you talk about the entire country. Again, folks, we encourage you, if you could support the ACLJ, be part of our matching challenge month of April. Donate online at aclj.org. Remember, it doesn't just go to the cases. We just got a victory out of the 8th Circuit in Arkansas for life. It goes to this broadcast as well, ACLJ.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to go ahead and take phone calls in just a moment, but I just got a news alert that it looks like they're not going to allow, or they're not going to put on the floor of the House, proxy voting. Dan, what have you learned?
Yeah, it sounds like maybe that proposal did not have the support it needed. I'll just give you my personal reaction, Jay. I think it's a good thing for this reason. I think if you're going to authorize proxy voting, which we have said on this broadcast before, is probably a pretty reasonable idea in a time like this. Jay, you've got to have buy-in from both sides. This proposal, I've got it in my hands that Speaker Pelosi dropped. She dropped it at 2 a.m. without any consultation of the minority side. And I will tell you, it gave her an awful lot of authority to determine when it went into effect, when it didn't go into an effect. And if you're going to change 200 years of precedent, which again, we have been open to, Jay, I think you've got to do it in a bipartisan fashion. Leader McCarthy had said previously he was open to a change. He just wanted to negotiate it, make sure both caucuses were comfortable with it. I think the fact that she dropped it so late in the game is why it didn't have the support. Jay, I think they can get there. It's just not going to happen today. They're going to have to do it in a bipartisan fashion.
Well, I think that's why you have to have this discussed. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, it's interesting because the news alert is saying that because of Republican opposition, this didn't go through. But there had to be a lot of Democrat opposition as well, because the Democrats control the House, and if she was able to whip all the Democrats to vote yes on this, she could have gotten her way. Dan?
100% correct. You don't need Republican votes to pass this change. And Jordan, one of the early indicators that she might have been in trouble was that Leader Hoyer himself said he wasn't in love with this proposal. If they were going to do some sort of remote voting, he preferred invoking the technology that most small businesses and many of the technology we're using right now, Skype. He said he would like for that to be used so you could actually see a member's face, identify them personally, and they would still cast their representative vote. This was not that. This was going to be proxy, where one member of Congress could show up with a signed letter from another member and cast a vote for both of them. So I think the dissension inside the Democrat ranks was pretty telling early on. But Jordan, 100% correct. Did not need Republican votes to get this change through.
You have to use the technology that exists. I think that's, I mean, look, we're trying to do that right now. So you try to move towards the technology. Let's go ahead, Jordan, and take a phone call.
Yeah, Denise in Indiana has been holding on. Denise, we appreciate that. You're on the air.
I appreciate everything that you guys do. But I have a different kind of spin on this stimulus check. We pay every year. We're not one of those ones who gets to get a refund. And we're wondering, since they don't have our direct deposit information, because there's nothing to direct deposit, will we just have to wait on a paper check?
That's a good question, but have you you've never received a refund, but you've given them checks, correct?
Yes, we give them a check every year.
That's so there may be, they may have that information anyways, I suspect, but Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, so the default would, she would be getting a paper check at the appropriate time, although, again, if she would prefer to get a direct deposit, it does happen more quickly, and she can enter that information manually on that form at irs.gov. The default will be a paper check, but if you want it to be a direct deposit, you can manually give them that information.
Yeah, so just go ahead, Denise, if you want to move it quicker, that's what I would do, because I think manual checks, there's a lot of the IRS service centers are closed. Let's keep going, Jordan, on calls.
Yep, Dan in Kansas, he's been holding on as well. Dan, we appreciate you holding on to talk to us. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I sure appreciate everything you do. I want to give a quick comment on the PPP. I'm a truck driver. I'm a single truck, single employee, owner-operator, basically a one-man show. About 2 weeks ago, I had a major breakdown, which threatened to basically put me out of business because it was something bigger than I could absorb with also taking care of my household stuff. I live in a town, it's about 1,500 people, and my banker is very, very intelligent and very meticulous on these kind of programs, and he called and said, hey, let's sign you up for this. I think you've got a good chance of being funded. I submitted all my documents. Within 3 days, he come back and said, you're funded. You're good. And that hit my bank account, so I was able to pay my repair bills while I'm still working to pay that off. But I'm able to maintain my household. I've got three small kids. My wife works part-time, so that way she's home with the kids and stuff. But I hear people complaining, or not really complaining, but some frustration saying, I don't know how to get this because my bank isn't helping me. I think that's the biggest key is having
Dan, the small town banks, the community banks have been doing the best job at this. And not to belittle other national banks, but I know from a lot of people have contacted us, churches, other organizations. We've spent a lot of time on this issue. And the truth is that the smaller banks, the community banks have been more receptive because you're dealing with a person rather than just online submitting it and seeing what happens. So for those that have not yet participated or you tried and did not get it, when this bill becomes law, you will qualify. So that's the good news there. Let's grab another call.
Right. Back to the phones we go. And this is interesting, kind of the opposite. Justin in Washington State on line 3. Justin, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Again, by the way, and great book, Jordan. Got it for Christmas. Love it. Anyhow, I applied for a PPP loan. Two separate banks here in Washington State. First one filled out the paperwork. Something wasn't going right. I called the bank. He says, well, are you a member of our bank? I said, no, I told you that. He goes, sorry, I can't help you. I said, so you get free money and you can't help me? And he said, basically, yeah. So I went to another bank. That bank said, yes, you don't have to be a member, but if one of our members applies for this loan, we're going to kick your application to the back of the line. I said, so you...
Yeah, and that, look, the banks have had the prerogative to do that in the sense that they can only service so many. So here's the question for you. Is there, Justin, a bank that you deal with, okay, a bank that you're dealing with that now that could provide loan? In other words, you're banking somewhere. Why not go to that institution for the PPP loan once this new legislation is through?
Yeah, I did. I went to my wife's bank. They finally did approve it because my credit union that I have my business account through doesn't do SBA loans.
Okay, some credit unions don't, but that's good. That's a good way to know. But Jordan, you know, none of these are perfect, but again, your persistence here is the key.
That's right. Being your own advocate and figuring out. And remember, in this new legislative proposal, it hasn't passed the House yet, but in the new proposal, there is additional billions, additional billions for smaller and medium-sized banks. So I think that that's important, that if you do work with a smaller bank or a even medium-sized bank, they're going to have more funds to distribute via this loan program. So they're going to have more to allocate if this does pass the House of Representatives, which we hope and expect it will. And so, again, be your own advocate. Be creative like you were. You said, okay, it might not work through my credit union because this credit union specifically doesn't do the SBA loans, so I'll go to where my wife banks, and they got it handled. So you've got to be creative. In a sense, be your own advocate. The money is there for you. It is being passed by Congress, signed by the president to get to you, but you do have to be your own advocate because it's happening so quickly that sometimes you're getting more information because you listen to a broadcast like this faster than your banker might even know. So again, I encourage people, be your own advocate, stay updated, keep updated with us on the radio broadcast so that we can tell you when this legislation actually does, if it passes tomorrow, and get some estimates on when this new round of money will actually be available for the banks to start granting these new loans.
That's one of the things I wanted to jump in on, and I want to go to Fan with this. This has passed the Senate. It has not yet passed the House. Now, Fan, from it, because there are people that really are looking to get the loan. They really need the funds to keep their businesses going, to feed their families. What is the stat? What does it look like in the House? Is there going to be serious opposition? Is this going to be, 100%? What's going to happen here?
I don't think there's going to be serious opposition because Speaker Pelosi was involved in the negotiations and apparently is on board with this 25-page amendment to the program. But, Jay, they do have to take a roll call vote. And, we've been around this town a long time. Until those votes are cast, you don't count it as signed, sealed, and delivered. I do think it is going to pass, but we're going to have to stay on this until it does. And, Jay, just one quick comment to that call you just took. It's those two calls back-to-back are so important here. The Small Business Administration usually does $30 billion in loans in an entire year. This is now $659 billion over the course of just a few weeks. So Justin did a good job going to another institution. More financial institutions are being onboarded every single day. Jay, I got to tell you, I think they're doing a pretty good job rolling out that kind of funds in just a few days.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break. We have one line open, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. So we'll take your calls. And again, tomorrow's broadcast, we'll of course mention this. We'll find out what happens. If it does pass tomorrow, we'll bring that information to you. I want to talk about the situation with Iran. I want to talk about the immigration situation. I want to talk about if there's any updates out of North Korea. So far, nothing, which tells me there's probably something, because there's been no denial of the medical, at least as we're on the air now, situation with Kim Jong-un. We had Skip Ash on as to what all that means. We're going to get into that tomorrow. Don't forget, if you're able, support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. We're going to be back with more calls in just a moment.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org.
All right, everybody, last segment of the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's do this. Let's go right to them. Jordan, take them in the order that people have been waiting.
Absolutely. Nancy calling in from Michigan on line four. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, Nancy.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I do appreciate it. I'm calling about the stimulus, and I have done my due diligence. We have not gotten it yet. I checked with the IRS to find out, why we haven't. And right now I'm on the screen and I'm giving out my bank information. And in the past few years, we have filed our tax returns, but we have not paid or we do not owe because we don't make enough. And it's asking me, I received a refund or I owe money. I can't press either one of those. And if I do, with the amount I have for my adjusted gross income and the amount that I paid in taxes, the amount is zero. And the next screen, if I press one of the two buttons, received a refund or owe money,
it says error.
Technical difficulty, yes.
Yeah,
what do
it says error.
Because they won't answer the phone.
All right, no, good question. So, Than, we had that yesterday with a couple of callers as well.
Yeah, they have had some technical difficulties. The error rate has been low. Here's what I would do, Jay. I would go ahead and go to the supplemental form and give them the information as if you were a non-filer. I know you said you filed your taxes, and my assumption, Jay, is you probably will get a paper check in the mail because that would have been on your forms. But again, this goes back to the advice that Jordan has given many times. I would just go ahead and duplicate the step, complete the non-filer's form at the top of that screen. There's no penalty, Jay. If they already have your information and you're giving them the information the second time, guess what? The same result is going to happen. You're going to get the check in the mail.
I think that's absolutely correct. All right, Jordan, who's next?
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to David in Michigan on line five. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, David.
Hi, guys. Thanks for all your work. This country has been in a lot of trouble without you. I had a question about the stimulus as well. My son had his stimulus check rerouted and to pay off past child support debt, and I was under the understanding that that was not going to happen and with the stimulus.
When you say rerouted, you mean someone placed a lien on it?
Well, no, it was actually paid to our local child support unit in our county to cover his debt that he owes.
Yeah, so, Jordan, what do you know about that? Because my understanding I haven't heard.
My understanding is that these checks either are going directly to your deposit, so they're going directly into your account, or they're being mailed to you as a check that you then deposit. So, Than, the idea that the check was somehow rerouted into some kind of program before it even reached David's son's account, to me, that seems like something that should not have happened. And probably need to talk to a local, just a financial attorney to figure out, to get to the bottom of this.
It doesn't make sense to me, Jordan. My advice would be exactly the same. He needs to talk to his family attorney who did that work involving the child support payments. I think that family attorney familiar with his situation should look at that and advise him on the next steps.
Yeah, because that was not the intention of this. The intention of this was not to pay back taxes. It was not to pay back child support. It was so that you would have enough money to put food on the table, to pay your necessary bills. It wasn't supposed to be a boost to your income. It was just supposed to be to keep you going as best as possible through this period where so many are unemployed or making less money or being furloughed. So again, it was not intended to be something that could be seized by various state or federal entities because of money you may owe. So I think, again, you've got to talk to a professional there. As we keep saying on the broadcast, be your own advocate. Back to the phones we go. Gloria in Maryland on line one. Gloria, welcome to JSecio Live.
Thank you very much for taking my call. My question is that I receive Social Security and it is directly deposited onto the Social Security card, the Direct Express card. I would like to know, do I have to, and I fall in the income bracket where I do not have to file the taxes because of my income. I would like to know, to get the stimulus, do I have to fill out a form, the non-filer form to get it?
I tell you what, I think what Dan said is right. I think if you're having trouble or you haven't received it yet, I take it, Gloria, you've not received it yet, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I would go ahead and fill out that form. Because they probably don't have it set up. They have set up for direct deposit. They probably don't have set up a getting it to your Social Security card because it's not a Social Security payment. It's from the Treasury as a stimulus. So I would fill out that other form just, and they'll send you the hard copy just so you know it'll get processed, and they'll process it in due course.
Yeah, there's no harm in doing that either. No. We were telling people yesterday, you know, the final couple segments, you know, that starting towards the end of this week, if you believe you qualify for this stimulus check and you have not received the direct deposit especially, you should probably do some more due diligence. And then, of course, if you have not received it in the mail by early next week, especially do more due diligence and make sure you don't need to fill out a form or something like that. They're very easy to fill out on the IRS website at irs.gov and there's systems there that kind of tell you your status. We got a call about that. George in Maryland online too. George, welcome to JSecio Live.
Yes, good afternoon. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for all you do. Thanks for taking my call. I support and I share every day on Facebook. I have a situation when I filed in 2018, my wife and I filed jointly. The account that we had at that time has been since closed. We're not even together at this point, but when I go online to check the status, it just tells me payment status not available. So I'm not sure how to even be my own advocate or what I need to do next.
I would definitely go to, and now your wife's filing separately now, or I don't know what the marital status is, but if you're not married, she can qualify too. So you should file that same form that we've been talking about, right, Dan? That's the best way to do this.
Fill out that form. And the other option, Jay, he could file his 2019 returns now and get them their information that way as well. I would probably do both, honestly.
Yeah, I think there's no reason not to do both. All right, well, that's going to do it for these questions today. Let me say what we're going to do on tomorrow. Of course, we'll answer questions. Hopefully, this will pass, and we will have a law that the president can sign, and this will help a lot more people, which is exactly what the desire here is. But we're also going to get into some of the geopolitical things that are going on. Because it all ties into this pandemic. What's the situation with China and the lab? What was their culpability? What are the Iranians up to coming close to U.S. naval ships in the Mediterranean Sea, in the Sea of Straits of Hormuz, in the Persian Gulf? What are they up to? What's going on in North Korea? Then I'm also going to have an update for you on some of the domestic issues that are going on here, including another report on the FISA abuse that has taken place. So there's going to be a lot to cover on tomorrow's broadcast. Jordan's going to let you know how you can support the ACLJ if you're able to this month.
All right, folks, you go to ACLJ.org. The best way to donate right now, ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge in the month of April. What does that mean? A $20 donation you make online at ACLJ.org, that's effectively $40 to the ACLJ, but you're only charged on your credit card $20. And it goes on up from there. I mean, again, so you can double the impact of your financial contribution, keep this broadcast on the air, keep our attorneys in court. We just had another pro-life victory out of the 8th Circuit in Arkansas. Go to ACLJ.org, donate today. We will talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.